Each week around this time, we bring you stories from New Zealanders who weren't born here, who were forced to leave their homelands and resettle in this country. And today, we're very pleased to meet Jobathan Rajaratnam from Sri Lanka. Hello.
Hi.
Nice to have you in the studio today. Now, at what stage did you leave Sri Lanka and move to New Zealand? When was that?
I left Sri Lanka in 2012. So that's in end of 2012 during
November. Pretty recently.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got such a good relationship with Sri Lanka over the years, with cricket, of course, and a bit of tourism. And I don't think I've met a Sri Lankan refugee before. So tell us, why were you forced to leave Sri Lanka?
Oh, Sri Lanka had a civil war for more than 33 years, and it have ended in 2009. And after 2009, they had internal conflicts between armed groups. So we were one of the families who were affected by the internal armed conflict. And then we left the country. We wanted to go to India at first. And then we thought, what else are we going to get if we go to India? Because India didn't sign a refugee convention in 1951. And at the time, we had to take a boat to Australia. So we took a boat to Australia and got stuck in the middle of the Indian Ocean.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so for...
One of those boats, huh?
Yeah. So one of those boat people who got stuck in the middle of the ocean with our engine failed. And it's 46 days we were in the middle of the ocean. And luckily, we got in radio with another rescue boat, which is being rescued. But we wasn't in any one country's border. So it's not no one country's responsibility, unless it's Sri Lanka's responsibility, as we were considered still a Sri Lankan citizen. And, you know, we were in the middle of the no man's land. And then we talked to, you know, the rescue boat, and then they went to talk to the Australian Navy. And then Australian Navy came to our frequency and then have a discussion with us. You know, they say that they cannot, rescue us because we wasn't in, you know, in 50 nautical miles from their border. So we wasn't
It's in... It's tough.
Yeah, so...
Tough to say no to a boat full of people. How many people on board?
So we had, like, more than 46 people, and there was, like, 3 children. So
now, what did your family consist of? You seem like you're, about in your 20s now, like 20, something like that, mid-20s?
Yes, I'm in 26.
Yeah, okay. So you would have been 19, and who was with you in your family?
So I was with my mum and my sister. So it's 3 of us.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you, and I imagine you were doing a bit of looking after of them as well.
Yeah, just because as the woman as in the board is... Only very few of them, right? And there was 2 pregnant women, right? So it was very difficult to even, you know, share things because, you know, it's a priority versus priority, right? And the thing that in the board people, everyone agreed to taking care of the most vulnerable, which was a very important thing that the humanity raises when there is a problem, right? And it was something that uniquely we all agreed to, you know, make sure we feed the pregnant women and we feed the children well before we get enough food. Because, you know, we run out of food after 28 days, so we had no food at all. Like, we had to, like, fish at some time, and we had to, like, have small bit of noodles that, like, it's even, you know, smaller than the glass of water.
Yeah.
Right? So that's
a little cake of noodles.
Yeah, so that's all we had to eat for a day.
Was it an upsetting, scary time?
Yeah, it had scary time in during the full moon days, right? So the whole waves would be way higher. Like, it's not like a normal day in the middle of the sea. The sea would be, like, rising up and rising down. And one day that our boat was, like, shifted, like, more than 2 nautical miles, right, just because
drifting.
Of the waves. Yeah, it just drifted out because they only have the, the anchor that's, it's called a parachute anchor.
Yeah.
So that's take you out with the water.
Right.
So it just drifted our board into like 2 nautical miles.
Now, how old was your sister?
My sister is just 1 year older than me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but she was the one who got scared and I had to hold her onto her arms because we are so close. And I had to tell her, like, you know, just be strong, you know. And it's also a problem just because, you know, we can't trust anyone, and especially the human traffickers. When we got into the board, like, they just said they had to take my mom and my sister first before me, right? And I got so scared because I was crying just because I don't know what's going to happen to them,
yeah.
right? And I have to wait for another 1 hour because they have to go and send them into the main board and then come back and get me, right? And I was crying until I see yeah. my mother. And then I was so wet because, you know, you go into the sea and then, you know, I got into the main board and then I saw my mom. Then that's where when I felt so relief,
mm.
right? And, you know, I was like hugging my mom and my sister and said, you know, I feel better now just because, you know, I wasn't feeling so well just before. And I'm 19 as well. I never faced, you know, such those of, you know, scenarios in my life. And all the problems that happened to us just contribute to this moment that we have to, you know, make a decision now what to do next, right? And we made this hard decision without knowing what's next.
How were you eventually saved on that ship?
We were rescued by the International Rescue Corporation. I think that part of ICRC have their part in Padang, right, which is in a part of Indonesia, mm-hmm. in Sumatra. So they were the one rescue board. They came to us to rescue. But they couldn't just because we are like so in the middle of the mm-hmm. ocean, right? We more like very near to our Arctic and Antarctic poles, right? So they say like you guys are so far away. So what they did was they sent a bigger ship, right? And then there was a quiet ship that going to Australia to take sheep, right? And
yeah.
transporting sheep. And they rescued us and then took it on ship. The rescue mission was like, it took us like 6 days, 7 days of rescue missions. And they failed two times, right? One time they even broke our boat, right? And the second time they were successful because it's a different ship. And the different ship is a quiet ship. It came in and it rescued us. And then it's a gift to, you know, sent, given us to the Indonesian ICRC.
Was that an act of kindness that the captain of the ship with the sheep on it decided to stop?
I do see that because they do have international policy
mm-hmm.
to do any sort of rescue mission.
Okay.
If anyone have a, you know, in the middle of the sea that they have to rescue them.
Okay.
But one of the boarded, I'm right now just exploring who have contributed my life, and then I'm writing a book about it. So I'm trying to get in touch with the New Orleans ship, which is, you know, from U.S., so that ship stayed with us for 6 days until we got rescued
wow.
because Australian Navy said they wouldn't rescue us just because they were not their responsibility. But that New Orleans ship, they stayed with us for 6 days and they promised us that they will stay until, you know, that someone come and rescue us. And they did that for us, like for 6 days. Not easy as, you know, a transport ship that's bigger as so much and have transporting $1 million of stuff and commodities, and is staying for 6 days mean the company loses a lot of money.
Yeah.
But the captain desired because he, you know, learned our stories and what we have been through, and then he started acknowledging that we shouldn't leave the people in the middle. We should stay with them. And for 6 days, they given us food and water, and then they said we will stay with you until they make a decision whether to rescue you or whether not to rescue you.
Great. I'm speaking with Jobathan Rajaratnam, who is originally from Sri Lanka and came to New Zealand as a refugee. So how did you end up in New Zealand? The short version?
The short was it's just a resettlement quota program, so which is a refugee quota program. They take people out of it, and we are registered to go to any countries, and they just selected New Zealand. We had an immigration interview, and then we have flown down to
you and your mum and your sister.
Yeah, three of us
yeah.
together.
And so how has life been since you've been here?
It's been progressive, right? And I finished my degree now. So I did 3 years of biomedical science and finished the degree and doing a second degree on paramedic science. And I want to work with different forces as a medic or work in a civil defense or ICRC to international rescue missions,
uh-huh.
especially in the Mediterranean seas,
yeah.
right? So I can be an EMT by next semester.
You want to help people in the same way that you were helped?
Yeah, because in what's happening right now in Mediterranean Sea, there is more than 200 people in a single tube boat that are crossing over the borders. But most of the countries, they block their borders and stricken their immigration policies. So what the problem is, no one's supporting the people who are doing rescue missions, and the people who are doing it is Human Rights Watch and Doctors Without Borders. Mm-hmm. So I really wanted to work in that scenario and do rescue missions and help people who, you know, have gone through what I have gone through in my life.
I thought you might prefer the quiet life now, given all that you've been through.
People do think that the quiet life that I wanted to, but every day I think about the privilege that I have, that privilege that some of them doesn't have, because we only have one person in resettlement all over the world, and every country is straightening out their immigration policies. They are not taking refugees anymore. So the problem is still a lot of people have hope in the future and still struggling to meet their end, and I really want to help progress their life.
How's your sister doing?
She's doing well, and she got her job, and she even got married last year, and then she's trying to get her, because we do have like an arranged marriage, and then she have to like do the traditional marriage now. So yeah, so we're just looking forward to it.
Yeah. And your mom?
Mom is so good. She did her, she's 65, and she was a teacher for 22 years back in the country. And when she came here, she was like, what I'm going to do? And then she got into early childhood education. Mm-hmm. So she did her diploma now. So she's looking to find a job to work in ECE.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing your story. We're pleased to have you as a New Zealander. And we hope that even if you travel the world and do this rescue-based work that you're talking about, that you will still think of us as home.
We will. And I always find New Zealand as my unique home, that I experience a lot of things.
I've been speaking with Jobathan Rajaratnam. I won't ask you who you support in the cricket when New Zealand plays Sri Lanka.
Honestly, it's hard to make the decision. But I would say 50-50.
Okay, good man. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.